glory to God. We want to welcome everyone who's joining us by live stream this morning. You are a part of our family. We do wish we could see your shining faces here, but we know a lot of you are out of town. If you are in the Wimberley area, we invite you to come and visit us and be with us on Sundays, because we'd like to just have the fellowship with you as well, not just talk to you over the airwaves. Amen? Amen. How many of you got a Bible with you this morning? How many of you would like to have a Bible this morning? I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, but because I preach straight out of the Word of God, if you don't have a Bible, I could tell you anything, and you'd believe it, because you're going to trust the man in the pulpit, aren't you? Well, how many of you know that not all men in the pulpit preach the Word of God? So if you need a Bible this morning, if you would, raise your hand. Our ushers will get you one. Nobody needs one. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. Well, because you have your Bible, let's all be turning to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Excuse me. And I'm going to continue this morning talking about establishing a godly family. This will be part two of that message. If you missed part one, I invite you to go to our website and listen to that message. It will bless you if you want to grow in Bible knowledge and you don't mind being corrected. How many of you know God's word is meant to correct? Yes. Amen. And you may be sitting here thinking, well, Pastor, we don't have kids at home. We have grandkids, great-grandkids. But you may also say, well, you know, I'm not even married, so I really don't need this teaching. Well, how many of you know the Word of God and the things we'll be teaching apply to all of us? Yes. So don't just tune me out this morning just because you don't have children. The title of today's message is Raising Godly Children. You cannot have a godly family without raising godly children. How many of you know that? Amen. Amen. They are your legacy. And as we go through this message, you'll see that this word is not only for those who have children, but it's also for you, because God's word speaks to every one of us. Can you say amen? Are you interested in learning more about God? Are you interested in learning more about what he has to say about being a godly family? Amen. If you desire to know more, God will give you more. But we have to desire wisdom in order for God to give us wisdom. Proverbs 4:5 says, don't turn there. It says, get wisdom, but also get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Turn to your neighbor and say, get wisdom. Turn to him again and say, but more importantly, get understanding. Because if you don't have understanding, wisdom won't do you any good. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And wisdom, here's the wisdom of God. Don't just hear my word, be a doer of it. Yeah. Are you with me this morning? Yeah. So I want us to begin here in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And keep in mind, this is about raising godly children, raising a godly family, establishing a godly family. Before I start reading in Deuteronomy chapter 6, I want to say something to you. I've said this last week, and I'm going to say it again this morning. We have to understand, as the body of Christ, that the devil is in full attack mode, and his number one goal right now on this earth is to destroy families. He wants to destroy your family. And he's using every modern resource he can to redefine what the family unit is to look like. He's doing everything he can to change God's design for marriage. He's doing everything he can to deceive a society into believing that there are many genders, when God only created two genders, Read Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Are you hearing me? So the devil is after your family, and he's after your life. And as we saw in the scriptures last week, the only defense that you and I have against Satan's attack is to build the foundation of our lives and our families' lives on the Word of God. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, in spite of what the world looks like today, in spite of all the deception that's going on in our society, if you and I will stand firm on the fundamental principles of God's Word, we can live a godly life. We can have a godly marriage. We can raise godly children. Amen? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 1. Now this is a suggestion. Okay, I'm just waiting to see if you're paying attention. This is the what? Commandment. It's not a suggestion. How many of you know God does not make suggestions in his book? That everything we read in the book is a commandment to me personally and to you personally. Amen? Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments. He did not say suggestions. He did not say you could just take it or leave it. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to. He said, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. Who's he going to teach?
Me.
Everybody say me.
Me.
We got to get on the same page. To teach you, to teach me, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep, everybody say keep, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be what?
Prolonged.
Amen. Therefore, hear, O Israel, or hear, O Hill Country Cowboy Church, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, O Hill Country Cowboy Church, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. How many of you know all means all? It don't mean part of you. It don't mean give God your leftovers on Sunday. Don't mean give him your time on Easter and Christmas. It means 24/7, he is your all. Can anybody say amen to that? And you know something? We may not be there, but how many of you know we need to keep moving toward that? We're a work in progress. I realize that. So, you know, there's no need for the let the devil come in and put condemnation on you if you ain't where that you think I'm telling you to be. Amen? I give the same word to everybody. But I also know that everybody's on those different levels with God. But the truth is the truth, right? Amen. I've seen babies get more out of the Word of God than their parents have. Because they don't have all that garbage, all that teaching from past generations on them. They're like a sponge. I mean, you know, your kids are like a sponge. That's important for you to know that, because we're going to get into that here in just a few minutes. Amen. It says in verse 6, and these words which I command you today shall be in where? In your heart. Why is that so important? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of your heart come the issues of life. Amen. You shall, now here you go. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign in your hand, and you shall, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Thank God we don't have to have that little box on our forehead, right? Amen. It says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then he says, so it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill, hone out wells which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of your bondage. Hallelujah. I want you to notice something here. From verse 1 all the way to verse 12, God ties all of his blessings, all of them, to diligently obeying his word. He says, I'm going to bless you with everything heaven has to offer. And he's not just talking about having money, guys, okay? How about peace of mind? How about never having a depressed moment? How about getting along with everyone? How about living peaceably with everyone? Amen. So he's not just talking about having money. I said this before, and I'm going to say it again in case somebody might be listening by live stream that didn't get it. If you measure God's blessing by your bank account, you have totally missed the message. Amen. Yes, money is included. But more importantly, he's talking about individuals living a godly life. He's talking about a man and a woman having a godly marriage. And then together, they raise godly children. Are you with me this morning? In verse 1, it says, God says, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which God has commanded to teach you. That's why we come to church, amen? That's why you have home Bible study, amen? That's why we read and study the Bible. Amen? Well, that fell on deaf ears. I would love to be able to raise my hand, but I don't want to put you on the spot and lie to God of how many of you spend more than 5 minutes at home reading your Bible. Ten minutes. 30 minutes. Remember Luke 6:38? With what measure you give, you will get. You don't give any time to God in his word? I'm going to give you the answer of why some people's prayers don't get answered. Because they don't give any of their self to God. They give their self to him on Sundays, maybe on Wednesdays, maybe at Man Up, maybe at a special Bible teaching or something. But then they expect God to give them 24/7 of his time. And he cannot, guys, he cannot go against his word. Period. Do you realize if God went against his word, it would make him a liar and the devil would take over everything? If God could give you without you giving something to him, it would make him a liar. You had to give him your life just to get saved, didn't you? He didn't force you to get saved. We're not robots. He gave us a free will. He made us free moral agents. And I know a lot of people don't like to hear preaching like this, but hey, this is the truth. Hallelujah. It's setting me free. And it's still setting me free. Then he says, You shall teach these same commandments that I've taught you, these same statutes, these same judgments. You're going to teach them to your children. In other words, God is saying, first, my brothers and sisters, you get my word down in your heart. You allow my word to show you the changes you need to make in your life, and then make those changes before you start trying to teach your kids. Amen. You see, you can't teach something you don't know. Can you? I mean, if Brother Jason tried to teach me how to play the guitar, and he never picked up a guitar, it'd be kind of stupid me trying to learn from him, wouldn't it? Amen. You can't teach your kids something you don't know, guys. And you don't know it if you ain't practicing it. You may have heard it. You hear it every Sunday, right? But if you ain't practicing it, you don't know it yet. Don't shout me down now just because I'm starting to preach real good. Hallelujah. So he's saying, teach yourself first and then teach your children. And that don't mean we're going to be perfect, guys, okay? But it does mean that we're doing our best to follow God's word. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. And we will fall short. We will make mistakes. And I thank God for his grace. I thank God for his mercy. I thank God that when I do sin and fall short of his glory, that I can repent and ask God for forgiveness, and he is faithful to forgive. Amen. That's the greatest thing about it. His mercy is new every morning. Hallelujah. That's a pretty tough message, isn't it? But we so need it. See, because not only are you building a godly family, Miss Brenda and I are building a godly family in this church. And I'm not going to tell you something that's not in God's word. I'm responsible for every one of you. And I'm going to tell you the truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. So he's saying, let the word teach you. And then you, being the teacher then, who does God say will be your students? Who?
My kids.
Your kids. Amen. That's going to be your first students. Then you might start teaching some people at your job. You might be teaching somebody at HEB, at the corner store. You never know who you're going to be teaching, but you got to get it in you to be able to teach it. Amen. Hallelujah. I thank God he's faithful to forgive me when I fall short. How do we teach our kids? How do we teach our grandkids? How do we teach our great-grandkids? How many of you know it's by living? Not by what you say, but by what you do. Not just by being godly on Sundays. In raising Cain, cussing, yelling during the week, when things don't go right, got awful quiet in God's house. We teach and our children learn. We teach and they learn. And we teach them by our example. How many of you know that? So how can we tell our kids or even other people that obeying God's word will change their lives if they don't see change in us? I'm just asking for a friend. My brothers and sisters, you can't convince someone to do something if you aren't doing it. In other words, as you grow in the Lord, are your kids, your family, and your friends seeing you obey God's word? Are you obeying God's word in front of your kids? Are you being a light to them all the time? I love it when a brother comes to me and says he was talking in front of his son, and It was back when we were teaching on confession. And his son said, well, Dad, you need to change your confession. That's when your kids are learning the word. Amen. So we're teaching them. Hallelujah. Are they seeing you making changes? Are they seeing a change in you when God's word gets a hold of you? I once asked my son, he don't do it now, but he used to dip snuff. And I asked him, I said, right after my grandson was born, we may have been 2 or 3 years old, I asked my son, I said, what are you going to do one of these days when you catch him with a dip in his mouth? Well, I'm going to spank him. Why? You're teaching him. You're teaching him. I saw a TV ad that a young man was in the basement smoking dope, not doing anything worthwhile in his life, playing video games, just bumming out, so to speak. And his dad comes down there and he starts griping at him, saying, when you're going to do something with your life? Who taught you to do that? He said, you did, Dad. What are we teaching our children? I told you this is going to be a tough message. How many of you know you got to put your big boy britches on? And it's not just dope. It's not just drugs. It's not that. It could be anything. What are you teaching your children? Are they seeing you, Jesus, make changes in your life? I'm glad Brother Jake showed up, because if Brother Jake, I mean, let's put it to you like this, if Brother Jake and Sister Presley, if they're going to obey God's word and his word is correcting them and teaching them to make the changes they need to make in their life, how many of you know their kids and the people they hang out will notice their changes? When Jake first came here, man, I was so happy when he first told me, he said, man, I used to not even believe anything you said. But the word made a difference, not Pastor John. The word made a difference in your life, hadn't it, Jake? And that's what the word is meant to do. It's to make a difference in our lives. Can you say amen? And let me just share this with you, because I know a little bit about their life story too, because they did choose to obey God's word. And because they did choose to make the necessary changes in their life, then God says his blessings will flow in their life. And I've seen that in their lives. Amen. Amen. He said, I'll give you houses that you didn't build. I'll give you wells that you didn't dig. When he digs a new one on my place, I hope he hits oil instead of water. Amen. Amen. Really, what God is saying here is the same thing he told us in Philippians over in the New Testament. Philippians 4:19. He said, I will supply everything you'll ever need. And I'll supply it when you need it. But here's the kicker, guys. We have to do things God's way. We have to do things his way. That's the biggest problem with human nature, even as we speak. See, humans don't naturally want to do God's will. They want to do things their way, don't they? Amen. They want to fulfill their will instead of God's will, because humans think they know better than God. That's just human nature. We got colleges we go to. We got to be smarter than God, right? Let me ask all the humans listening to me right now. By a show of hands, watch out, don't raise your hand too quick. By a show of hands, how many of you in here watching my live streams ever created a star or a planet? Or a universe. How many of you created the wind? None of us. Then how could we ever think we could be smarter than God? Just because we got a bunch of initials behind our name. PhD, post hole digger. Amen. Hallelujah. See, some folks have never created anything. I know I haven't. How many of you know you didn't even create the life that is in your kids? You just got the enjoyment. Them kids wouldn't, they're a gift from God. The Bible says so. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I'm getting way off track here, but it's good. How many of you think it's good? How many of you still love me? Well, I ain't got to the good part yet, so hang in there. See, many people want to tell God how their life ought to be run, how they ought to be able to live their life the way they want to, that somehow God made a mistake in their life when he created them. But I'm going to tell you, I'm here to tell you, no human being knows more than God. And one of the biggest problems with human nature is people don't like to be corrected. But if you and I don't allow the word of God to teach us and correct us, his blessings will not flow in our lives. How many of you know that? Turn to your neighbor and say, God must love you the most if he's correcting you the most. God corrects those he loves. I know he's on me all the time. He must really love me. Amen. All right, let's look at this in 2 Timothy. I'm gonna move on. Praise the Lord. Second Timothy. And I want to give God some glory this morning. Just say, Father God, thank you for this timely message. And I thank him that he's allowing us to teach this series that we're in. Because we need it. We so desperately need it. If the devil can destroy the God's family, if he can sway you into thinking that this teaching is wrong, then he can get the next generation. And that's what he's after. Satan ain't no fool. He knows if he can get the next generation, if he can get you to where, well, I don't believe all that stuff, you know, my kids are gone now, you know, they're just on their own. They'll have to do the best they can with what they got. No, you can live like God, godly in front of them right now, and it'll change them. I'm a witness to that. Because my wife and I didn't live godly in front of our children in the beginning. We were going to church. Going to church don't make you saved. Going to church don't get you to living godly either. All right, let me move on. Praise the Lord. Getting ahead of myself. 2 Timothy chapter 3. How many of you know the word of God is supposed to correct us? Yes, it's very familiar scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. All scripture. Everybody say all scripture. Not just the ones we like. Not just the ones we're already doing. But all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I've heard this stupidity that says, well, man wrote the Bible. That is so ignoramus for somebody to say something like that. Of course he did, but it was inspired by God. Yes, sir. Amen. Because you know how I know that? It says so right there. And say, I believe the Bible. I don't believe what man says. I believe the Bible. It says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for what? Correction and for instruction in righteous living or righteousness, that the man or woman, that the man or woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God's word is designed for what? To correct us and to grow us up. That we would grow up in him. And he wants us to grow up, so we'll do what? There you go. Help others. Do his work. That's what he says. So they'll be equipped for every good work. He wants you to grow up so you can help other people. He wants you to grow up in the word so you can help your children. That your children could maybe help some other kids. It's a chain reaction, guys. I told somebody that it's got to start in the home. Don't rely on the church to teach your children. Did it say over in Deuteronomy to make sure your kids go to church so Pastor John can teach your kids the word? No. It says you teach them. Okay. You know I'm telling you the truth. The New Living Translation in that verse number, Timothy 3:16 says this. Says all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. And God uses it to prepare and to equip his people to do every good work. So what is God's word doing? Is he wanting us to be like robots that he can control us? No. Is he trying to dominate you? No. He's wanting to instruct you and to instruct me on how to live for him. Can you say amen? His word is to instruct us on how to have a successful Christian life. It is to instruct us on how to have a godly marriage. It is to instruct us on how to raise godly children. And it's not that situations won't arise. It's not that we will never have issues in our lives. But when issues do come, we handle them the way God would handle them. Using his word. Can you say amen? Amen. And notice he corrects us when we're wrong. And let me just say, when we make decisions or build our life without God, we're wrong. Are you hearing me? We learned that last week. Unless God builds it, you're wasting your time. Isn't that what scripture said last week? Amen. Hallelujah. That was Psalm 127:1. It says, when you build your house without God, you're building in vain. So ask yourself this question. How correctable are you? When God's word convicts you or his word corrects you about a certain area of your life, something he's been dealing with you more than once to change. Do you receive his correction and make the necessary adjustments? Or do you just blow it off and blow God off and just keep living your life the way you see is fit or what you think is right? We learned last week that God's way is the only way that's right. And God and his word are one. So if you ain't doing it according to the word of God, you're wrong. Period. Now, again, you're a work in progress. You know how to change the way you're going if you're not going the right way with God? Father God, forgive me. I missed it. And then move on. Just ask him to forgive you. Say, hey, man, I missed it. I yelled at my wife when I shouldn't have. I said something ugly when I shouldn't have. I spanked my kids in anger and I shouldn't have. Father God, forgive me. And then move on. And you're forgiven. Amen? Hallelujah. That's good preaching. A whole lot better preaching than you're shouting. I mean, don't we say we're a word church? I mean, that's what we say. Well, we're a word of faith church here. We're word people. But let me ask you something. How word oriented are you? How alive is God's word really in your life? And I realize we're still growing. But how many of us know we shouldn't be getting offended in our lives? We shouldn't let people offend us. How many of you know if you're word-oriented that you should forgive unconditionally? How many of you know if you're word-oriented, you're not supposed to return evil for evil? If somebody says something ugly to you, you're not supposed to say it's something ugly back. Just asking for a friend. How many of you know we all need to grow up in the Word? That we all could grow a little bit more than we are. Amen. Including your pastor. I'm preaching to me too, guys. Amen. I want to grow so much up in God that I want him to look it down at me every moment of every day and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Right now, he ain't doing it. Sometimes he, what are you doing? Didn't I tell you not to do that? Yes, sir, you sure did. Well, then stop doing it. Amen. I know nobody else in here does that, right? Glory to God. See, you may say that you've forgiven someone, but what happens when their name is mentioned? Or somebody reminds you of what they did to you by saying what somebody else did to them. What happens then? When that scab is tore off, that band-aid is tore off that wound, and you remember what that person does to you, that's the true test on whether you really forgave them or not. We're just not to say we're word people if we're not going to live by the word. See, when Jesus forgave you, he forgot about what you did. And when you could go to him and say, Lord, forgive me for that, what? Didn't I forgive that you for that last week? Yeah, but I just want to make sure you forgave me. Well, no, if I forgave you, I forgave you, and I forgot it. See, that's the thing humans need to do. We need to start living like God wants us to live, and we need to start forgiving like God wants us to forgive. Amen? I hope I'm helping you. That's why I say this ain't just for kids. If you're raising kids, this is for you and me. Hallelujah. How word-oriented are we? How alive is God's word in our life? Do we allow God to speak to us? Do we allow God's word to transform our life to look more like him? Or do we try to change his word to look more like us? How many of you remember that child teaching aid? I don't know if they still even have them. But all it was a box. But on this box, it had all different shapes. Okay? Like a moon or a round hole or a square hole. Anybody remember those? It's what? Anyway, you got all these blocks, and the object was to teach your children their shapes, right? And you would help them, saying, well, no, don't put that, no, that won't go there. Turn the box a little bit. No, that don't fit. That's round. Put that in this other round hole over here. Amen. But you had to match up the shapes of the blocks with the shapes that's in the box. This is how they learned. what would fit and what would not fit. Let's say the box now represents God's life in you. How many of you keep trying to put a round peg in a square hole? How many of us keep trying to put things into our lives that God says that won't fit? Some of us spend a lifetime trying to reshape the box so we can fit everything we want to put in there. God says it ain't going to happen. He says, matter of fact, the only thing I'm going to allow in this box is that stuff of me. All the rest of that stuff's got to stay out. Amen? Many folks, not of course none in here, but a lot of folks are still trying to force wrong things into their godly house. They're trying to build their life, their home, their family, the way they see fit. And again, if God doesn't build it, you're wasting your time. My brothers and sisters, stop trying to force things into your life that do not line up with God's word. Because all that does is keep your house divided. And a divided house will fall. You cannot stand in Christ forever with a divided house. You'll have to choose one side or the other. Amen. And listen, God will show us what does fit in a godly home and what does not fit in a godly home. And we learn when we learn to hear and do what God's word says, then our life, our family's life, will be transformed. Can you say amen? The Phillips translation, I got to move on. The Phillips translation in that verse says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching the faith and correcting error. For resetting the direction of a man's life and training him in good living. Notice the purpose of God's word is to reset the direction of your life. You got to reset the direction of your life. And then it is to train us in good living. Amen? Write this down. The pattern for success is building your life according to God's word. The pattern for success is building your life according to God's word. The pattern for your success, for you individually, for your marriage, for raising your children, is building your life first according to the word. Psalm 119:89 says, forever, O Lord, your word is established in heaven. We need to get a hold of that truth because God's word is settled forever. It cannot be changed. And if you and I want to live a successful Christian life, his word has to be settled in us. Are you with me this morning? Now, turn over to Proverbs 22. And keep in mind that Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 12, God said the word has to be in you first. Then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says God uses his word to instruct and train us up for the better. Well, if God uses his word to train you, what are you going to use to train your children? All right, I'm going back to page one. Oh, okay. Just want to see if y'all were still paying attention. Yeah, if God uses his word to train you, he's going to use the same thing to train your children, right? Amen. Hallelujah. He will not use today's culture. Amen. He won't use society. He won't use the schools to train up your children. You have to train them up. And you have to train them not to accept a lot of the garbage that they will be hearing in society. A lot of the garbage they'll be hearing in school. You got to be able to train your children to know the truth, because the truth is the only thing that will keep them free. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, we don't correct our children like the Bible does. Why not? Why don't you just say because you think you know more than God does about correction? If you're not correcting like God tells you to correct your children, then you're saying, God, I know more than you. Just saying. I'm going to show you that. Well, we don't correct our kids God's way. We correct our kids our way. Because that's what Dr. Phil told us to do. Or some other psychological idiot. At what point did you decide that those folks knew more than God does? At what point did you step away from using your Bible as the guide for raising your kids? When it goes against what you think to be true, oftentimes that's exactly what we do. And we may not come right out and say it, but when we don't raise our children according to the Word of God, our actions are saying that we know better than God. Don't shout me down now just because I'm coming down on your street. That may upset some of you, but you'll just have to repent. Because if you ain't doing it God's way, you're doing it wrong. And don't shoot the messenger. Everybody say, don't shoot the messenger. Amen. So it's not me saying I'm right. I'm saying to you, God is always right. So if you want to get mad, the mad box is somewhere. Just write it out and put it in the box. Amen. The Bible says, spare not the rod. That don't mean you beat or abuse your children. It means sometimes you give them a little swat on the backside because God told you to. In other words, it's part of their training program. Amen. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he wants to go. Does your Bible say that? A lot of parents just let their kids raise themselves. Well, I don't want to hurt their little feelings. No, it says train up in your child in the way they should go. And then when he is old, he will not depart from it. Notice it says train up your children in the way they should go. Well, in order for you to know the way they should go, what's required? The Word of God. You got to know what God says, right? Yeah. It says you train them up. That means you got to know the Word of God yourself, and then you got to pray that God leads and guides you. Yeah. Amen. The word train in the Hebrew, to many people's surprise, means to discipline. You train your children up with discipline. Not in anger. Not with yelling and screaming at them. Not with threatening them with idle threats. You train them up with discipline. Or better yet, you train them to live disciplined lives. And that doesn't mean always using the rod. Sometimes the rod is needed. But God's best way of training up your children is by your example. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. If you want your children to live a disciplined life, you have to live a disciplined life. The word train also means to teach. It means early instruction. A lot of us didn't get to our kids early. I'm going to talk about that more in just a moment. Talks about early instruction. He's saying to start their training when they're little. And then when they get old, they will not depart from it. Many of you may be thinking the same thing that I thought when I first read this. Well, all my kids are grown. And Pastor, I really didn't train them up the way the Bible says to. Well, that's okay. There is no condemnation for those in Christ. You didn't know how to train them. Amen. You didn't know how to train them up. You can't train somebody what you don't know. So what you do is you start training them up right now. First by asking God to forgive you, like I told you earlier, but then by being an example of what Christ, a Christ-centered life really looks like. And then you could add to that to pray for them that God would turn their lives around, that he would make your mistake to prosper. That's what we did with our kids. We didn't train our kids up right. But when we rededicated our life to the Lord and started living for him, we started being an example to our kids. We didn't have to tell them. They saw it in us. They saw what Christ-like life can look like. Amen. And now both of our children, praise God, are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, and on their way to heaven and growing every day in Christ. I'm praying. And that's going to be passed down to our grandkids. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not going to apologize. This ain't one of those feel-good messages. You want to start feeling good, start doing the word. Amen. Be an example to your children. Amen. You can turn their life around when you start acting Christ-like. When you start living Christ-like. But let me say this. Don't let condemnation come on you for what you haven't done. How many of you know hindsight's 20/20? Always has been and always will be. I mean, we've all made mistakes with our children. As I said, Miss Brenda and I were not perfect parents. She especially wasn't. We made mistakes, but we did the best we could. But the one thing we did do, we did not let the devil condemn us for it. We chose to let our past mistakes go. We chose not to look in the rearview mirror and let the devil say, well, see, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. No, we asked God to forgive us. We got up and we moved forward. And it turned our kids' lives around. Just by us being who we said we were. We got up, we learned from God's word, and we moved on. And that's what every one of you parents is sitting under the sound of my voice right now, even in the, either in this room or by live stream, that's what you need to do. Do not look at your past failures in raising your children. Ask God to forgive you. Get into the word of God. Learn what God, how God wants you to live. And then move on. And train up your children in the way they're supposed to live. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And you know what will happen? The same thing that happened for Bruce, Brenda, and I. See, we stood on the word of God that says in Acts 16:31, it says that if we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, then we would be saved, and not only us, but our entire household would be saved. That eliminates all past failures right there. When her and I started really believing in God's word, and let me say this, we didn't just preach the word, we lived the word. Amen. We didn't just talk about the word. Well, yeah, yeah, that sounds pretty good. No, we lived it, and we lived it in front of our kids. Now, was we perfect? No. But God took our imperfections and made them perfect in the sight of our kids. And that's what he'll do for you too. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. It's very simple. You could just say like, Father God, I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on the word that says me and my household will be saved. And even though my kids are grown right now, Father God, they're still a part of my household. So I'm believing that you're going to turn their lives around. I'm believing before they leave this planet that they will know the real you in Jesus' name. You see, confessing God's word over your children, no matter how old they are or how they may be living their life, will make a difference. But he says the best way to keep your children on the right track is to teach them early. Not through anger, not through yelling and screaming, not whipping them when they don't do what you tell them to do, not whipping them in anger. You take the time to get a hold of your emotions and you teach them with a gentle voice. You set them down with a calm, gentle voice and you show them in the Word of God why you must discipline them. And know this, just giving a child a whipping for disobedience won't accomplish anything. It may be part of their punishment. But if you don't teach them the godly principle behind the punishment, you'll travel down that road, same road again. You have to teach them God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I got 3 minutes and 3 pages. Whoo, hallelujah. And I promised her I'd get y'all out of here early. I'm not going to promise that anymore. You have to take them to the word. You have to show them where they missed it. You do this prior to the correction. What are you doing? You're training them up. Early instruction will lead your children to habitually follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice it says, train them up in the way they should go. This phrase, in the way, in the Hebrew, means their course of life, the way they live. So as parents, we are to train our children and set a godly course for them in this life. We are to teach them how to live for God. Not tell them how to live for God. Teach them how to live for God. Amen? Show them that you're living a godly life. And let me reemphasize, if you've fallen short on raising them up, ask God for forgiveness, repent, and then move on. Move in a different direction. Do something different than you're doing now. In other words, you have to show your children that your course in life has changed. Amen. And let me say this, changing your life for the better is one day at a time. It's not going to happen overnight, but you have to start today. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, I want to close this morning because I'm out of time. We're not done with this. How many of you know that? So if a lot of you are absent next Sunday for the next part, I'll just keep preaching until you come back. But I want to close this morning by asking each and every person in this room and those watching by live stream this morning. This is very, very, very important. I want to ask you 4 simple questions. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, very familiar passage, says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. With that in mind, if you and I are professing to be in Christ Jesus. And we're saying, well, I'm born again. I'm following Christ. If you and I are professing to be in Christ, shouldn't our new life look different than our old life? Can I still do the same things I used to do before Christ? I can. But then I can't really say I'm in Christ, because he says if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. That's what I put me in there. That means, John, your old life has to be done away with. And your new life is in me. If you're in our profession to be in Christ, shouldn't your new way of talking be different than your old way of talking? Should you use the same four-letter words to describe your disgust? Just asking for a friend. If you're going to profess to be in Christ, shouldn't the way you treat others, the way you treat your spouse, the way you treat your children, the way you treat your friends, shouldn't you treat people differently than you did before you were saved? The last question is, if you are going to profess to be in Christ, shouldn't we all prioritize our lives around God and his word? My brothers and sisters, let me give you some information here. Good and bad habits are passed down to your children. In other words, you teach your children by the way you live your life. If you live a God-centered life, giving God and his word first place in your life, then chances are your children will follow your example and live a God-centered life. Are you with me? Somebody better give me a check. Listen, I cannot emphasize enough how vitally important it is, and especially in these last days, to do everything we can to keep the God-centered family intact. And the only way you and I can do that is by first consecrating and dedicating our lives to living for God, and then raising our children to live godly lives as well. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Well, let's all stand. Hallelujah. Let me scald my... Thank you, Lord. If everyone would, just let's bow our heads. We've learned today that the Word of God is designed to bring conviction and correction to our lives and to change our lives for the better. With every head bowed and every eye closed, even those at home right now, I'd ask you to bow your head and just join in the Spirit with us. And what I want to ask you is, if this message has done, if this message has given you a different aspect on where you are in your life, if this message has convicted you and made you want to change some of the things that you're living, some of the ways you're living, some of the ways you're talking, some of the ways you're treating other people, if it's changed you or made you want to change anything in your life, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand and put it right back down. I include myself in that raising my hand, because we can all change. Amen?
Amen.
Pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I receive your conviction that I need to change. Father God, change me for the better. Show me in your word what you would have me do, how you would have me act, the words I need to say, and I'll do what you show me. I believe that Jesus Christ is your only begotten Son, and He died so I could live in you, not only on this earth, but throughout eternity. And I thank Him for that. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Well, praise the Lord. Give the Lord a clap offering. I know that's a little tough this morning, because this was a very tough word. But we need to take God's word and live it. Amen. The last thing we always say upon closing is we serve a miracle working God. And guess who's first next in line? Everybody say, I am. You're next in line for your miracle. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Pastor, if anybody would like to stay and listen to a great testimony about this man's granddaughter, he would like to share it. So, okay.
How long is it, Max?
About 15 minutes.